Welcome to Fellowship Talks, your weekly connection to the life and ministry of Fellowship Bible Church. It is our desire that this podcast will reinforce your worship on Sundays and encourage you as you live your life for Christ this week. Here are your hosts, Dan Schaefer and Amy Scrivanos.
Well, welcome back to Fellowship Talks. We are glad to have you with us today. I'm here. My name is Dan, and I'm with Amy, as always. Amy, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Yes, looking forward to another great conversation today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Amy, we always ask for questions from our body, right? From our church. If you have any questions about the ups and downs, what's going on here, the ins and outs of our church, we want you to ask questions. And we've had a question come in. By the way, if you have a question, feel free to email us at fellowshiptalks@fellowshiponline.com. Fellowshiptalks@fellowshiponline.com is where you can send your questions to us. But one of the questions we've had, Amy, is, who is the voice of this podcast on the intro and the exit?
Yeah, it's funny, since I'm the other female voice on this, several times I've had people say, is that you at the beginning? It sounds different. And it's not me. It's Michelle Youngman. And Michelle is married to Dave Youngman, who's on staff here at Fellowship with our audio team, and he's actually the one that helps us record these each week and get them ready for us to put out there for you guys to listen to.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, thanks, Michelle. We really appreciate what you're doing. Your voice sounds great. It's awesome to us.
Yes.
All right, well, we're going to jump in just talking about session three of our membership today. The title of this session in our membership series is Multiplying the Gospel at Home and Across the World. Amy, that sounds kind of familiar, like
it
maybe
does.
It's from our mission statement.
That's right. Yeah. And so to do that today, we have Dave Kella here with us. And Dave's an elder here at Fellowship, and he's been a member of our church for a long time. So welcome to the podcast, Dave.
It is great to be here with you guys.
It is good to have
it's
you here,
be
Dave.
Fun today.
It is. Yeah. So we really want to just start off, Dave, hearing a little bit about who you are. For people that don't know you here at Fellowship, tell us a little bit about your family. Tell us a little bit of your story and just a little bit about you.
Well, I tell you what, with our 40th birthday just happening, it is a, to say that you've only been here 27 years is kind of a an interesting piece. But, years ago, my wife and I were invited here in 1990 by a friend. And
your wife's name?
Is Susan.
Susan.
Susan, yes. We've got three kids we raised here and one kid that we raised in Kansas City before here. So it was interesting. We got here thinking we were true Christians. What we found out was that we were partial Christians. And what I mean by that is having been, if it's even possible to be a partial Christian, which, that's a bit of a
You're going to have to explain
oxymoron
this.
There. In other words, we knew who God was. Mm-hmm. And she grew up in one Protestant background. I grew up in a Catholic background. And we kind of came together in marriage, kind of decide, now we do one or the other or whatever. Mm-hmm. And fundamentally, God was a distant person. And when we got here in 1989, we were invited to this church multiple times. And through that process, we found Fellowship and found Jesus. So it's kind of an interesting thing that we came in as non-believers in Jesus, mm-hmm. and now we are believers in Jesus. And that whole process has been an interesting one from, people basically finding us, being willing to work with us through that, us getting plugged into a church. It's kind of old paradigm, but it really worked.
So tell us how standpoint. You found Fellowship. What do you mean when you say we found Fellowship?
Actually, a guy I work with invited us multiple times, and just to a Sunday morning service, kind of thing. So it was a, it's interesting. When you come to know Jesus and having a personal relationship with him, that's when the light really clicked with us that God, through Jesus, really wanted to know us. And so we went for years, in fact, about 20 years, just obeying. And mm-hmm. and frankly, we saw God use us and our kids and everything else just in some amazing ways. But, it was years later that I really got the gospel, literally when I became an elder. Mm-hmm. And, just the whole what Jesus did for us, that sinfulness that, I naturally have to just get my understanding of it gets deeper and deeper and deeper. Mm. And just his holiness. You know, which, you know, we saw earlier in some of the membership series, I think in the transformation series. I didn't get that until about 7 years ago. So the love side, the obedience side was there. The love of Jesus and why I do that was the different piece that really started to play out. And once that happens, lots of things changed. I got baptized. It took me 20 years to get baptized. You think about that and you say, well, I was serving in FSM, leading adults, leading kids. You know, how did you not get baptized? Well, I didn't get it. And then suddenly the obedience and the recognition of his love is really what really has played out in these last 7 years.
Well, take me back to that point. You said you had a friend who invited you multiple times to fellowship. Why do you have to ask you multiple times? What did that look like?
Well, first of all, I'm driving past this huge church, old location. Yeah, I saw all these cars. It's a Bible church. We came up from traditional backgrounds. We're in the South. We came from the North, basically. And it's kind of like, what's going on in those doors? It was just, you know, and part of it was just timing. God works in me as someone is inviting me to do something that God wants me to do. Mm-hmm. So he was pursuing me in that way. And we finally relented, basically.
I've heard you share your story before, Dave, and one of the things I really love in your story is just hearing the way that God works over the course of our life to continue to draw us to him.
That's right.
And I think lots of times we think about, you know, evangelism, and we think about that just that one time, that decision, and getting people to that place of decision, which is so important, and yet God continues to work over the course of our life to draw us to him, and in ways that that we maybe don't understand at first, and over time he softens our heart, and
that's right.
And your story is such a neat picture of that.
Yeah.
So thanks for sharing.
Well, and I tell you what, we're just I think I can speak for Susan in this too, and just say our lives changed, our marriage changed, our parenting changed. I mean, everything changed.
Yeah.
You know, over a course of those following years. Mm-hmm. So
why are you still at Fellowship 27 years later?
That's a great question. Part of it is I'm sure that I was born into this, basically, you know, that I became part of this family. And, you know, this is a family, which is, you know, hard for a lot of people. Is it a church or is it a family? I mean, basically, Scripture would tell us the church is a family of families. And so unbeknownst to me, I've never really looked for another, quote, place. There's been good times. There's been bad times. There's been hard times at the church where I've said, I don't know that I agree with where we're going. But, you know, then I became an elder, so I became part of it. So, you know, it's kind of a, you know, it's just, you know, it's just you don't just leave your family, if that makes sense. And so you have commitments to your family, which is a lot about what we're trying to do in the whole together piece. And, you know, we are together as what? We're together as a family.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. So when we start this session, Multiplying the Gospel at Home and Across the World, we have a quote on the first page from David Platt. And I just want to read that quote.
Oh, that'd be great.
It says, "The plan of Christ is not dependent on having the right programs or hiring the right professionals, but on building and being the right people, a community of people who realize that we are all enabled and equipped to carry out the purpose of God in our lives." Dave, what do you think about when you hear that read?
Well, I think about what I just said. I mean, that this thing is a that is a family of families. The other thing I think about is that you know, we're each called to be missionaries. And you know, just the whole and this, you know, over the last 7-8 years of the new mission statement, everything else, and really digging into the Great Commission, which, you know, fundamentally this third section of the membership class is all about, you know, the Great Commission and multiplying. And what I think what I had in my mind for years was that multiplication was all about, and the Great Commission was all about going out to another country.
Okay.
And, you know, then you know, we started digging in as an elder team, and in some of the teaching I was doing, I started digging into the Great Commission, and what I'm finding is, wait a minute, the command in it isn't to go, it's to make. Okay, so making disciples is the command. And then on the flip side of that, the go piece is translated as you go, make disciples. So really, we're making disciples, as we go by baptizing. Well, if you're going to baptize somebody, you got to proclaim something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yep. What are you baptizing them into? And then you've got to teach them. And just the whole, you know, that whole thing of, look, I want you as the church, I want you as an individual, mm-hmm. okay, to, as you go, make disciples, baptizing them, teaching mm-hmm. them all that I've commanded you. And you kind of go, okay. So that was where I really had to set back, kind of like what Platt's saying on mm-hmm. this thing, mm-hmm. and say, look, I'm a missionary. Where am I a missionary?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and you know, one of the things was just saying in my neighborhood, mm-hmm. you know, with the sports teams my kids were on,
yeah,
you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. That's great. You know, I think what we hear a lot as we talk with one another kind of about that mindset of being missionaries is this doubt of, well, I don't know enough to make disciples or tell others about Jesus. What would you say to that?
Well, I think that if we look at this as an individual task, we might be right, okay? But I don't, and really my involvement in the last few years, I'm a Caucasian in Fellowship Español, okay? So we've got a lot of Latinos,
right?
And I'm a Caucasian. I don't speak Spanish. I'm in Fellowship Español. Okay, we started Fellowship Espanol with home gatherings, inviting people into our home, large groups, families. I mean, just it's kids, it's mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. So within that context, we have people that are really good at bringing people into the home. Okay, mm-hmm. we've got really people who are really good at serving those people when they come. We have people who are really good at asking questions of where someone is, and we have people who are really good at proclaiming the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have people who are really good at discipling. So in the family context, you begin to really see all those gifts start to be played out. And I get to watch God work through the other people who I know and trust and know are believers in these new people that we invite in.
I'm starting to hear some of the passages of Scripture play out in my mind as you yeah. say that about the body of Christ being different members, and we all play a different
oh, yeah.
part.
Yeah.
We can't
oh,
all be
yeah.
a hand or a foot.
Oh, yeah.
But we all have different gifts that we bring to the table as a community.
Yeah.
Hey, tell me about, do you have a personal example of, you were talking about as we go, make
yeah.
disciples. Do you have a personal example of something that God has done in your life or you've seen over your time here at Fellowship where as you go, you've made disciples?
Well, just there's personal stories, and then there's what I'm seeing going on currently in the ministry I'm involved with our Latino crowd.
Mm-hmm.
But the you know, just personally looking around the neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
you know, next door, you know, on either side. I mean, we now have you know, we've been here what 27 years. I've had the same neighbors since 2000. You know, so that's 17 years. And just being involved in their lives and being able to see how God is moving in that their lives and being able to speak the truth into them, going on trips with them, you know, just the driveway conversations. We've watched one neighbor, you know, come to know Jesus and just completely change his behavior. Now, was I involved with that? No.
Mm.
No, he got pointed there by a son and found Jesus in that way. But it's you know, so much of what I think our American culture does, it says, we got to go disciple somebody. Okay, I'm going to make you, Dan, the project. And that's not the point. The point is live a life that attracts people to you, okay, which is a lot of what, as you go through this whole multiplication thing, there's an article in the back by a guy named Tim Brister that talks about, you know, the fact that people just don't overnight, you know, show up and say, hey, I want to be a Christian. What do I do for that? They can.
Right.
But most likely some things have happened before that to get them to that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think we've just got to, we got to know that. So
tell me a little bit more about what you mean between we can't look at someone as a project, but
yeah.
as a person. What's the difference there in that?
Well, I mean, if the end goal is you will believe in Jesus and I'm going to convince you that you're going to believe in Jesus.
Right.
That's a problem.
That makes
because
sense.
Because it's not my job. It God will work in their hearts through words and actions that that individual sees in me. So I just play a role.
So I'm a vessel used by God.
I'm a vessel used by God. I can't emphasize enough that community is the key thing to this. Mm. Because if I just take on an individual and say, I'm going to do it, then I'm worried about that, and I'm not just watching them. I may or may not be who God's going to use in this whole process. Mm. And that's okay. There's a bit of light touch in this. Once I admit that as we go, I'm going to make this happen.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to participate with him in this.
That's good. That's good. So there's a section in the membership material that's called Thinking Like a Missionary.
Yeah.
And I served for a few years with Crew. I don't know if you knew that. I served as a missionary with Crew for a few years. Yeah. So there's a plug for Crew. We support a few missionaries from Fellowship Crew. Mm-hmm. So
I have as well.
But what do we mean when we say that? Think like a missionary. And you got this cool chart on this table too. I want you to explain this a little bit.
Well, I mean, thinking like a missionary just basically says, what am I here for? Okay. And you know, if I'm here just to raise my kids, and if I'm here just to have a job, but if I'm here, or, you know, was I put here to literally proclaim the gospel through who I am, what I do, how I look at life, how I relate to other people in all contexts of what I do. Okay, mm-hmm. So I mean that's kind of the first question you got to answer on, you know, am I a missionary or not? Am I going to join with God in what he's up to? God is up to something. He will use us if we are willing to love other people enough that we can, you know, that we're willing to sacrifice our time, you know, have conversations with them. It's kind of funny. I was this past week, I was with a work compatriot, and you know, I didn't know this was a big deal, but you know, the waiter comes up at the restaurant. Well, I'm asking them what their name is, a little bit about their family. You know, we walked past a guy that was sitting outside all these tour buses. It looked like a band. He looked kind of gnarly, and I just kind of said, you know, hey, what do you? Who's touring? And he told us, and we started talking to him, and I walk away, and you know, the guy says to me, he says, you talk to a lot of people. And I thought to myself, yeah, I do talk to a lot of people. And you know, once you recognize somebody by name, I mean, the server, the whatever, you know, is just back at your table all the time. You got all kinds of chances to ask them a question. Literally, you're a missionary all the time. Mm. People want to know who you are. If you go back to that restaurant, if they happen to be Latino, I can invite them right smack into my house, where there's a house gathering every Sunday at 5:30. Mm. And I mean, this is not hard. It's not rocket science, but guess what it takes? Time. Which, you know, within
that's hard
the,
for us.
Oh yeah, it takes a reprioritization of your life, which comes from your love for Jesus. That says, "What did He do for me? Can I take some time?" Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just it's a real personal conversation that I had to have with myself. So, you know, since I had that conversation 10 years ago, I put a vision in place that said, "Work less, minister more."
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Get involved in different contexts.
Yeah.
Meaning Guatemala, which is how I came to love Latino people. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that. Just even that mindset of as you go, having just that intentionality.
It's huge.
It's not even setting apart a time specifically for this as much as it is in that time that you are spending, mm-hmm. being real intentional with that and saying,
"Oh yeah,
oh I'm eating a meal here, but I can engage the people around me as I go."
And yeah, so, and you never know what God's going to do with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you never know. One of our central families within Fellowship Español, and the home gathering we had was up here. Daughter was playing upward, right? And noticed a couple that was, you know, not from this country.
Oh, Upward Soccer.
Yeah, Upward
They're playing
soccer.
Upward
yeah,
Soccer
yeah.
on Saturday.
In fact,
yeah.
I hadn't been to Upward in years. When my grandkids decided to play this year, I think Paul Kroger told me 20% of the people there are from this church. 80% are from our neighborhood. And of those 80%, I would say that roughly 30%, maybe 40% were Caucasian like me. Mm. Everybody else was literally from another country, Japanese, Pakistani, Indian, you know, many of the Arabic nations just represented there. And I'm just looking at that going, every single Saturday, I got the nations right here. And this individual who is Latino took advantage of that, invited a couple in. They thought that they were coming to dinner at his house. They ended up at our house with all these Latinos, and they're not even Latino, which was fine. I mean, because we're all kind of strangers in a strange land, if you will, from that standpoint. But it's just, you know, and through that process, the discipleship piece happens, the proclamation piece happens, that kind of thing.
So I want to paint a picture for you who are listening today to this podcast. We're sitting in this room with microphones in front of us, and we have this table that we're all sitting around. Amy and Dave and I are sitting here around this table, and Dave has this chart listed out in different color ink pen with circles and lines and dots and words all over the place, and he has been really excited to tell me about this Brickster thing. And so, Dave, tell me about this Brickster component, and it's an article in the membership book. So
it is, and it's a two-page article. It's worth a read, because basically what he says is, in fact, he'll go through this deal in the front of the article, very similar to what Mark and the teaching pastors have done over the years. There's 600,000 unreached. How do we get to that number? Those 600,000 unreached in the Brickster article would be called strangers. We don't know them.
Okay.
I mean, they, you know, and over time, strangers become neighbors. Neighbors are the kind of people that you can say, you know, hey, Richard, how are you? He says, fine. You know, we're both taking our garbage cans down or taking them back or whatever, you know. And then over time, you know, the neighbor becomes an acquaintance because you stop and you have some conversation. You begin to know them a little bit better. Maybe you start doing some life together. Okay, to become an acquaintance, and then you become friends. In other words, you're in each other's homes. It's just the process of getting to know someone, and the expectation that it's going to take time, and you've got to go there. You got to build trust, particularly in this culture.
I think that takes a lot of pressure off, right?
Massive amount of pressure off.
Someone I meet at the grocery store, I don't have to have them in for dinner the very next night at my house.
I wouldn't. Yeah, particularly I wouldn't in a one-on-one situation, just because it's a little bit awkward. But you can invite them to a home gathering and say, hey, we got 50 people that show up at our house. Bring your kids. You know, we're gonna eat. You know, it is a Christian group, know that, but hey, we're going to do some worship. You know, you might even tell them that, just surprise them with the worship. And we're going to have a sharing discussion. We're not going to be going through a Bible study or anything like that, you know, because people are at different levels. We're just trying to invite people into Christian community. So, and that then, to what we talked about earlier, Amy, that lets the gifts kind of work through that.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the ways that we as a fellowship family have looked at that 600,000 and how we're going to reach 600,000 is through our campuses. And so Fellowship's one church with three campuses. So as we talk about that, kind of how do our three campuses factor into this mission? How do you see that?
Little Rock, Cabot, and Benton. Shout out.
Yeah. And now we add Espanol to it, which is a little different kind of campus, you know, from the standpoint of, you know, a people group basically that's in Little Rock. But what I'd say is that Benton's a long way from Little Rock. I've made that drive multiple times. Cabot's a long way from Little Rock. I mean, you can make it in 29 minutes on a Sunday morning with no traffic, driving fast. Okay? But I mean, those are all communities within communities, if you will. So you know, just the fact that we have a common mission, you know, that is in common values that are now being played out in literally three completely different cities. Benton being different from Little Rock different from Cabot is just awesome. So, you know, it's just one way to have people think alike and begin to do what we talk about in our mission statement. As you go, make disciples.
And we have some great staff serving at those campuses. Aww. Cody and Jessica have been serving for 4 years in Benton. We want to welcome Jason and Stephanie Beam to the Cabot campus. We're excited to have them on the team and looking forward to what they're going to bring. And they're just a great addition to our fellowship family.
I just think the more we can all be local, the better we are.
Yeah.
And which challenges big churches, to be honest, you know, through this.
Yeah.
It's good.
All right. So as we're kind of wrapping up, Dave, tell us what about fellowship excites you going forward?
A lot of it's the, well, first of all, it's family. Mm-hmm. And just the, you know, fellowship has become Susan and my family in so many different ways. And the second thing is just the mission. I mean, it's just so spot on to Scripture. It's just so, you know, now that I've been into it now for, what, 5 years that we've had this, 6 years that we've had this, now that mm-hmm. I've been into it, it's a, it's so clear on what we're all being asked to do. Mm-hmm. As we go, make disciples. Mm-hmm. You be sure the focus isn't on what we're doing, but how we're doing it, by His grace, for His glory. Where? At home, across the world. I mean, it's kind of both. And just waiting on people to get that is just, you know, a neat thing. And then watching them getting the light go off, and all of a sudden life priorities are changing.
Right.
I mean, we've literally had kids who have been involved in the home gatherings come to us and say, I'm not going to do high school sports anymore. Hmm. What do you mean you're not going to do high school sports? Well, it takes too much time. And you're going,
wow.
You're a teenager and you're telling me you're not, well, I can't disciple if I'm going to do high school sports. And you're just thinking to yourself, that's amazing.
So countercultural.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had a, years ago, I know we got to end our time here, but years ago I had a 13-year-old daughter mm-hmm. that retired from gymnastics. And I said, why are you retiring? She said, Dad, well, first of all, I'm done. And second of all, I can't do anything with my friends. I can't do FSM on Wednesday night. And I'm sitting there going, my 13-year-old daughter is telling me what I should have been telling my 13-year-old daughter. Mm. But we were so driven. She was really good, by the way. We were so driven by being parents of that, you know, quote, athlete, mm-hmm. that we couldn't even see what God was doing in her life, which is saying there's more to life than this.
Yeah.
Parents.
Man.
Really interesting. So I think, you know, a lot of this is the culture we live in. And by the way, that was 15 years ago. It wasn't like what I see our families struggling with now from a priority and a grade and a, mm-hmm. you know, all that, you know, excellence standpoint, that yeah. kind of thing. So we got some, what I'm excited about is that I think God will move in this church to flip our life priorities around this kind of thing when we see Him work and we say, that's amazing. I could have never seen that one coming, mm-hmm. you know, through that. So that's why I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
That's great.
It's neat.
Well, Dave, thanks so much for being here today and talking with us and sharing your heart
it's
for mission.
Honor, it's an honor. Privilege.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's been neat to really watch is. You live that out just personally with Guatemala, mm-hmm. with Fellowship Espanol, serving on the elder team, and I know that's really your heart.
Yeah. So thanks, Dave. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Amy, this has been a great series so far through the membership series of our church. Some great sermons on Sunday, great mm-hmm. time with our body on Sundays. Some great conversations here for the podcast. And next week, we're looking forward to talking with Mike Marquez and just wrapping up session 4 of the membership series. And that's going to be a great conversation. Looking forward to that with him. We're also praying for all of our D groups out there, right? As you guys work through this membership and really contemplate what God is calling you as a person, as a family, as a D group, and as a church, we're looking forward to what God is doing there. This has been a good, exciting time.
It sure has.
It has. So until next time, Fellowship, I'm Dan.
And I'm Amy.
So for As You Go, this is Fellowship Talks.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fellowship Talks. We hope this podcast will help you be a more effective disciple of Jesus Christ as you love God and you love others in your daily context. Fellowship Bible Church exists to make disciples who live by God's grace and for His glory at home and across the world.